All right. Well, girls, there has been just a word inside of my heart, I want to say, for about a year. Now, I have little notes that I put on my phone when something drops into my heart. Probably every pastor here probably does that. And when there's a message that you know that you want to preach, but you maybe you're in the middle of something and you just can't get it together. And I put this down, and it was called Victory in Tears. And it was out of Psalms 126. And I had gone back to it several times in my own life this past year. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, okay, it's time. It's time that we began to talk about victory in tears. And I said, what does that mean? And he says, oh, I have something for you, and I have something for the women. You know, tears are a very intimate thing. They're something that we do a lot as girls, right? I mean, last night, my daughter is sitting at the table crying. And I'm like, why are you crying? And she, I don't know. Just because, did you get hurt? Is mommy being too short with you? Like, what is going on here? And no, just don't know. I don't know why I'm crying. And Dan's just like, okay. And I was like, yep, got it. You know, like that. We girls can do that, right? We are on and off. And I believe that it washes our hearts out. I believe that when we cry, that there's almost a relief that comes out of that. You know, like, have you ever cried and then afterwards you're like, okay, it feels so much better. You know, it's like, you know, men just like, I don't know what men do, but we go cry and then go, you know. And sometimes I've had to teach my husband and the men in our world, because my son will look at me like this. And I'm like, Micah, please stop making that face. I'm, you know, like, and he makes you feel bad for it. But, you know, when you were in a company of women, we understand tears. Tears are something that are very intimate to us. They express a lot. They relieve a lot of stress. They show an intimate love. They cleanse. They wash. They are also a seed of faith. And I believe that in our tears, God loves every tear that we cry, every tear we shed. Every moment that we are in distress, every moment we're happy, every moment we're sad, the Lord is with us in every piece of that. And so, girls, you know, we've heard it said, oh, don't cry, be tough. Don't stop. You know what? I believe that the Holy Spirit is the comforter. I believe he is the one that understands us. And when we begin to cry in the presence of God, and when we begin to cry over and travail over something that maybe he's put on our hearts, or we begin to be moved and tears are what is flowing out of us, it is not something that we should be ashamed of, but it's something that we should let move. Because I believe that our tears begin to be anointed, and that they begin to plant seeds of faith, that they begin to sow seeds of faith. And so do not look at your tears as something as weak, because the Lord doesn't. Did you know that? God does not see it as a weakness. He sees it as a strength. In Psalms 125, 5 through 6, do you got your Bibles? Because this is the word of God, and you better have it, because one day you're going to need it if I'm not around. 126, 5 through 6. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing and bring sheaves with him. That's a little old school way of thinking about it. Let's read it in the Message. I want to read it in the Message. And now, God, do it again. Bring rain to our drought-stricken lives. For those who planted their crops in despair will shout hoorays at the harvest. So those who went off with heavy hearts will come laughing with armloads of blessing. I don't know about you, but there has been some victories in the tears that have shed in my life. There, I never would have thought in those moments that victory would have come from them. But now that I've been studying this, I saw that I began sowing a seed that I didn't even realize I was sowing. And in my tears became prayers. And in my tears, they became faith confessions. In my tears, it became a heart connected to my King. Because in my tears, I was so desperate for God that he began to show up on the scene. Planting a seed accompanied by brokenness will bring a harvest and a spirit of rejoicing. When, I'll tell you guys a story. When I, probably a few years, I want to say about 2 years ago, my son Micah, who, you know, you guys have all heard Micah stories, right? And he's been quite a handful. But there's something that God is doing inside of him, and I believe he has such a major call in his life that he doesn't know how to, he's very hyper, he's very, you know, he can't walk up the stairs without waking the whole family up. because he's just so heavy-footed. I mean, he opens the door and it slams, you know. He just cannot do anything gentle, you know. He's like that gentle giant. He came out 10 pounds, 4 ounces, and screaming the whole time. So, I mean, this is my Micah, and I love him to death because he's just like me. So, me and Micah get each other. Well, one day, Micah began having twitches, and he was twitching and twitching and twitching, and the twitches were like this, and then he was grunting like this for a very long time. And I remember not going there on the internet. I was like, I'm not going to look it up. I'm going to get in faith about this. I don't know what this is. And we were sitting at the dinner table, and Dan and I had been talking about it and going, what's something's wrong with him? I don't know what it is. And I remember sitting at the dinner table, and Micah was trying to tell us about something that happened at school, and he could not get through a sentence without grunting and without ticking and shaking his head to the side. Now, Mama's heart went, and I just kind of, and my tears began to flow. And Dan looked at me, and he was bawling, and Micah's like, why are you crying? And then he cried, and he said, I don't like being like this. So the whole family's sitting at the dinner table crying, and I said, you know what? It's okay for us to cry, guys. But this is where we are going to pull out our swords and we're going to get our shields up. And this is not allowed to stay. Now, Micah, this is what it looks like, but this is not what it's going to stay as. And you go, okay, Mom, okay. And he hated it. He was very embarrassed about it. It was something that he knew it was there, but he just didn't know what to do about it. And so then he would get very upset when people would point it out to him. And so watching him go through this faith walk, I cried the whole time. Don't think that I wasn't in faith. I was. But my tears and my heart were broken during those moments. And when I would begin to cry, the Lord would begin to speak to my heart, because I believe I was in a moment of such intimacy with the Lord and such reliance on him, because there was nothing I could do. They told me to take him to a neurologist, and I said, no, I'm not doing that. I just felt like the Lord was like, don't do that. And I began to look it up on the internet, and sure enough, it looked like Tourette syndrome. And I thought, oh God, Tourette syndrome. No, not for Micah. He's going to preach the gospel. He has nations to get saved. He has a prophet's anointing. There's no way that he's going to have Tourette syndrome. And the Lord said, you're a fool if you think the enemy's not going to attack your children and stop their destiny. So Jess, you have to fight for him. And I said, okay. And I remember sitting on the couch weeping before the Lord, Lord, heal my baby, heal him. And I remember all of a sudden, that thing that started here, went here, and then he started stretching his arms out all the time, like this. So he's playing baseball, and he's going like this, and I'm like, the ball is coming towards you! You have to put your hands down! You know, like you're going to get hit in the face. And he's like going like this, because it was a tick. So then we realized, okay, it's not Tourette syndrome, but it's ticks. And then I began to say to Micah, enough, this has to go, and it has to clear out of your body. And so every time that he would get a tick, he would cry a little, and he would say, in Jesus' name, I'm healed. I'm healed by the peace of God. I'm healed by the peace of God. I'm healed by the peace of God. And he would speak that over himself. And then it started to go in his legs. Then the arms stopped and then the legs. And then all of a sudden, it was gone. It just left. And I told Mike, I said, do you see what happened? This was a battle. We all had to fight with you. And I believe that our tears sowed faith. I believe that our tears moved God. I believe that our tears, we reaped his healing. It tried to come back just recently. I had Lupe pray over him. He's healed. He's good. And he got right back into faith. He got himself right back into that moment, and he stopped. And listen, if God can do it for a young 7-year-old boy, and for us, he is not a respecter of persons. He knows the need. He knows what's happening. He knows the miracle that has to go forth on your behalf or your children's behalf. And he believes in you. He loves you and he cares for you. Sow those tears, Mama. Sow them. Because those tears are going to reap blessings and victory. And that's what happened with Micah. So let's talk about the power of our seed sown. Okay? The power of our seed sown. We're going to start with tears. I love the explanation that I got for them, that they are liquid prayers. I love that. Our tears are liquid prayers. I believe that there are many different types of tears. There are tears of sorrow when you're sad. Maybe you've had a loss in your family. Maybe something hurt you very badly and deeply. Tears of sorrow. There are tears of joy when you're just so happy you have to dance and sing and shout and cry all at the same time. Maybe God moved on your behalf and you just couldn't believe it and you were amazed and shocked at what he had done and you just cried because you were so grateful. Tears of joy and gratefulness. Tears of compassion when your heart is moved for what God has moved for. Tears of compassion. Tears of desperation. Those were tears of desperation for me. I was desperate for the king to do something on Micah's behalf. Tears of desperation. There are tears of travail. You know when you're having a baby and it hurts? That is a good example of tears of travail. And there are tears that travail and that they move the kingdom. Tears of repentance when you have turned from God and you are coming back to the Lord. And there are tears of sadness, tears of sorrow, and tears of repentance. Tears of, Lord, I screwed up, but I so need you, God. I so want you, Lord. Those are tears. Those are different types of tears. In Psalms 56, 8 in the Message, I love this. I want you to hear this. You have kept track of my every toss and turn through the sleepless nights. Each tear entered in your ledger, each ache written in your book. Girls, sometimes we feel like, are you even there, God? Are you even there? There were many times in that battle for Micah that I said, are you hearing us? I'm broken. I'd be up all night praying over him, laying hands on him, putting oil on him. God, where are you? And every tear he was writing down. Every tear he was keeping track of. Because he loves you so much that even your tears mean everything to him. That even your tears are something that move the heart of God. And know that he loves us so much that he would take time to track our every toss and our turn. He sees us in our moments of despair. He sees us in our moments of travail. He sees us in our moments of compassion. He sees your heart. He knows. And I believe that the Lord says that in our tears, we will see greatness. Spurgeon says, if there was no sowing in tears, there would be no reaping in joy. When a man's heart is so stirred that he weeps over the sins of others, he is the elect to usefulness. I love that. Have you ever sat in a church service and you see the people coming forward and you can't stop crying? You can't stop crying because you're just so moved, like, oh, Lord, their lives are about to change. The brokenness, and it's almost like you can literally see the chains falling off them. When your heart is at that point and you shed tears, the Lord, it shows that you are ready for usefulness for the kingdom. I love that. Winners of souls are first weepers of souls. As there is no birth without travail, so there is no spiritual harvest without tillage. When our own hearts are broken with grief at man's transgression, we shall break other men's hearts. Tears of earnestness beget tears of repentance. Deep calls unto the deep. I believe that our tears bring us to a new level of depth with the Lord. Nobody else can cry your tears but you. Your heart can only say what it needs to say in your tears. God knows those moments. Have you ever had a moment when you've walked away from someone and nobody knows you're crying, but you got some sunglasses on and there are tears shedding, walking away from a situation? You are not alone. And those tears are being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he knows what you are doing. And he knows what seeds are being sown at those moments. But girls, this is where I want to say to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled from your tears. But begin to use those tears and shed them as seed. And sow them. So we're going to move on to the next point. Sowing your seed. Tears are important to God. And watering the seed that is sown in your prayer. Watering the seed that is sown in prayer. Let's move on to number two, sowing. We're going to talk about sowing. So we talked about our tears. We talk about sowing our tears. How do I sow a tear? I don't understand that. Spurgeon says, we must sow. We may have to sow in wet weather of sorrow. Sometimes in our brokenness is our biggest and most important life endeavors. Sometimes in the weakest moments, in the valleys that people don't like talking about, is where God shows up the most. Sometimes when you are in that moment of, I am done, how many of us said, oh, I'm done? I say it all the time. And the Lord always checks me. No, you're not done. All right. All right, fine. So in those moments of, I'm done, in those moments of, this is enough, enough's enough. Listen, you think he doesn't know that? But it's in your valleys. It's in your deepest, darkest moments that God begins to say, girl, buck up. Because I see those tears and you begin to sow faith. Begin to sow your tears into the ground and sow faith. Sowing is a time of consistency and dependence on God. You see, many times we get tired and weary and we're done because I'm sick of fighting this fight. I don't want to do this anymore. They aren't going to change. Finances are not going to change. My children are driving me insane. They should just leave and never come back. I don't know if God's ever going to see them safe. I don't know. I'm done. But see, a person who sows doesn't give up. It's hard work. And it takes a consistent hand. Somebody who wants to get out in those fields and sow every day and plant for the harvest later on, that they're only going to see it reaped many, 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 many months later. Girls, what are you sowing now? What is coming out of your mouth about your family? What seeds have you sown with your actions? You know, so many times I hear, oh, all the churches want is money. The church wants money. Listen, God has kept us alive on fume and faith. And I believe that God uses our finances as a seed to sow as well. Because he multiplies it. Don't tell me that warehouse is not fish and loaves. So many times we don't have enough, but then God somehow shows up and everybody gets fed. I just believe that the Lord takes care of us. But you know what? It's because this woman and this man have taken their whole lives and sown and sown and sown and sown. And we get to reap in the harvest that they've given. Listen, don't stop sowing. Sowing in a time of consistency and dependence on God is hard work. It takes perseverance. It takes getting dirty sometimes, girls. It takes doing what needs to get done, which is sometimes monotonous and not fun. And wait, that's not how I planned it. Oh, how many times have we said that to God? That's not how I planned it. Yeah, well, what seeds are you sowing? His or yours? If that means that you get up and you pray in the middle of the night, then get up and pray in the middle of the night. If that means that you change the patterns in life, then start changing some patterns in your life. God is calling you to new things. If that means that you shut your mouth and begin to speak life instead of death over situations, that means you begin to shut your mouth and start sowing life out of your mouth. It means that you are dealing with the dark places of your heart that keep you from the freedom that God has for you. Some of you don't want to go to Breaking Free. Some of you are, oh, no, I don't want to even go there. Maybe you need to go there. Because maybe you need to bring to the surface some stuff that has to get washed out and wiped out for you to continue on in the path that God needs you to go. God never made us so that we stop. He just made us so that we can keep going and getting people saved and doing the work of his ministry. Maybe you need to deal with some dark places. Sowing will be different in every season. Every season, sowing for you is going to look different. But know that your tears don't ever stop. You will always have that, girls. And use it as a weapon against the enemy, that you are going to sow your tears in whatever season you are in. And that is a tool he can't take from you. And those are heart moments that he can't take between you and the Lord. Sow those. Sometimes you're going to get tired and you're going to sow a seed and cry a tear. 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 And when you're tired, sow a seed and cry a tear. Sow a seed and cry a tear. Sow a seed and cry a tear. And when you're irritated, sow a seed and cry a tear. Sow a seed and cry a tear. And get up and move on because God has something for you. Keep crying because eventually the rain of righteousness will fall on you. Keep crying because you will see the victory one day. I cannot tell you the testimony of my sister in the back. Kim did not serve the Lord. And every single day, my mama and my daddy, at 4 a.m, were in the living room screaming and raining heaven down for her soul. Every day, I would hear them weeping for Kim, weeping. Now Kim is in this house serving the Lord. She's a hero in my book. And I don't know somebody who loves God more than Kim. And let me tell you, it was the seed that was sown that brought Kim to salvation. Guys, don't give up on what God has put in your hand. If you have to cry yourself through it, but get through it, okay? Because God has something for you on the other side. In Hosea 10:12, It says, sow for yourselves righteousness, right standing with God. Sow right standing with God. You can sow crap. Oh, I said crap. Yes, I did. I could say something else. We are cussing pastors around here. You can sow crap. You can sow it. You can speak it. You can show it. You can be rude to somebody. You can say the horrible things about them. You can go and not do anything and not be generous. You can go and be a tightwad and not show the love of Christ to people. You can go and just keep to yourself and be a hermit. You can sow junk. You can. Or you can sow righteousness, right standing with the Lord. That means when the tears flow, that you say, oh God, I know I'm wrong. I know I'm hurting. I know I said some stupid things, but forgive me, Lord. Tears of repentance. Oh, but God, show me how to love these people. I seriously do not love at all. He hears you, and he knows. He'll help you. Listen, begin to sow righteousness. Reap in mercy. Oh, I need the mercy of the Lord. Every single day of our lives, we need God. We need his mercy to fall on us. We need his presence to be with us. And I believe that begins with the sowing of righteousness. Break up that fallow ground. What is it in your life that has been there for too long? You need to get out one of those things and start breaking up that ground and saying, this is not okay. When I see patterns in my family, it's almost red flags for me. So, for instance, everybody started getting allergies again this season. And I said, oh, heck no, yesterday. I began to pull out that anointing oil. I began to rake up the ground in my house and say, you're not coming back here. These things are not going to be things my children live with. The doctor tried to tell me Titus had asthma, and I said, oh, no, he doesn't, because he is going to preach the gospel without having to take a breath, and he is going to also play soccer because he really wants to. So you know what? You will not take this from my child. And listen, break up the ground. We put up with the little things. Oh, we're always sick. When I hear that, I'm like, you are not in faith. And I try to be nice pastor and just say, okay, we'll pray for you. But I'm like, seriously, get in faith. Like, seriously, my mom never let us be sick. When I would get sick when I was a kid, you know what she'd tell me? Well, you can stay in bed or you can get up and show the devil what to do. And that's what she would tell me. And then I'd feel guilty, like, well, crap, I got to, like, let the devil know that he has no power over me. And I would get up, and I would go to school. I think it was just her way of getting me to go to school. But it worked, right? Listen, what are we putting up with? What are we not tilling our ground on? What? I don't know for you. I know for me. But I don't know for you. Maybe you need to go home and say, what if I kind of just let lay? What have I let just be still in my life? What have I not really sown into the ground lately? You see, I believe God wants us to begin sowing so that we can reap. I believe that he says that he will reap mercy upon us. So break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, girls, till he comes and rains righteousness on you. I believe, remember I said, that God is doing something at the rock. That there's new blessings, that there's new favor, that there's new anointing on all the pastors. I just know it without a shadow of a doubt. I saw my brother step into his giftings on Sunday night with laying on. And my mother prayed for a prophet's anointing for healing in his hands. And he has always fought it. And I just love that that God just shows off and just pushes Luke aside. So I know that God is doing something here. But God is not just doing something here in the pulpits. He's doing something in the ministries. In the small groups, in the outreaches, in girlfriends AM and PM, in the men's ministry. There are things happening that are stirring us up as a body of Christ. And we need to sow so that we will reap. You need to sow so you will reap, not just for your families, but for this house. If this is your house, begin sowing into this house. With your time, with your effort. Maybe you're not a tither. Maybe you need to trust God and start tithing. Watch God bless that. Listen, enough's enough. We're not going to be patty cake Christians around here. If you, the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, you better change and get going, because we are moving, and this is a big old ship going down, and we, and you either jump on and get going, or you know what? You are going to jump off, and who knows what's going to happen to you. But God is doing something, and I believe he's telling us in this house to begin sowing. Begin sowing. Begin doing something. You're sitting here going, I don't do anything for the church. Well, then you know what? It's time to get started. Joanna is a volunteer, over volunteers. Get with her. She'll connect you. Number three, after we've sown, the promise in the scripture says we will reap victory. We will reap victory. Just as Constantine, like I talked about, went out in faith, he put the cross in front of him and that army went in. He conquered that. That army conquered that battle. Listen, they reaped victory because he sowed in faith what he saw in the spirit. Maybe God's given you a vision. Maybe God has dropped something in your heart. Listen, I know we don't always get woo-woo-wee-woo, but I believe that the Lord is going to begin showing more visions. I believe that we are going to begin to see more miracles. I believe that we are going to lay hands on the sick and we are going to see them healed. I believe that devils and demons will not be able to sit in our services. We will cast them out and tell them to go. I believe that there are moves of the Holy Spirit that are going to be as they were in the Bible. During this missions conference, Brother Yen, when he was preaching, I heard his story. Crazy, go back and get it. And then he anointed everybody. And I said to Dan, oh my goodness, this is modern day Paul. This is modern day Bible. Listen, what God did for them, he will do for us. He didn't set us up for this time to be afraid. But we have to sow so that we can reap the victories. The men that went before us sowed and reaped victory. That's why we're still sitting in these seats. Let me say this. The Muslims have been saying forever that they're going to wipe out every Christian. That they're going to kill all the Christians. That's what they wanted. That is their ultimate goal. So if you don't know that, guess what? You're their enemy. And every time they've said that, they've never won. Because God for us, who can be against us? And listen, don't be foolish and think that this isn't coming to our land, because it's here. And you better be a Christian that knows her ground, that knows her word, that knows her Jesus inside and out, and that is not playing games. So you sow now, because you will reap a victory when time comes. Because God is doing something. God is doing something. God is doing something. I can feel him in the spirit. I know what he's doing. Reap in victory. You will return to this field and not sow, but reap. Not weep, but rejoice, says Spurgeon. We will return to that field, the one that we cried over, the one that we sowed our seed in, the one that we were constant in our sowing and our seeding and our sowing and our crying and our sowing and our crying. Remember that field? You're going to return to it. And you are going to see victory. You will not weep anymore, but you will rejoice on that field. You will reap the benefits of those tears. You will reap the benefits of that heartache and that blessing, that time of travail, that time when you didn't know if God was going to show up. You're going to return back to that field and you're going to go, oh my goodness, I never knew the miracles and the power behind my tears and my sowing. You will reap what it is you've sown. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God who gives victory through Christ Jesus. Girls, keep your eyes on the maker. Keep your eyes on your creator. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Jesus is the answer. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. There's nothing too big for our God. Nothing, nothing, nothing too big for him. But sometimes we treat him as common. Sometimes we're just, oh, that Christian church, oh, those Christians. Listen, God has to become so big in our heart. Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross has to be our drive for every moment that we take, every step we make. Listen, he gave everything. And we sit in our comfortable chairs. When I went to the mission, they had these beds, and I've been complaining about my bed because it does this whole, like, you know, like we're doing, like I hate it. It was like sleeping in a hammock. And I wake up with like knots in my back, and Dan has to rub them out for like half an hour, you know. Poor Jess. No, not poor me. After I went to this mission, these men, like, slept on flat wood boards, or the other ones were, like, strings that were tied like this, and I'm like, oh, talk about knots in your back, like, at the end of the night. I mean, what I learned was that we are big, fat babies. They did that for the gospel's sake. They did all of that for you. They did all of that for me so that they could write the Bible out for us, so that they can get the Word of God into people, so that they can change our nation. Listen, what is it you're doing for God? Because it is time for you to reap what it is you have been sowing. And if you have not begun sowing the goodness, begin sowing the righteousness. Because I believe whatever we sow right now, ladies, our children's children's children are going to reap later. Our children's children's children will reap. It is time for us to reap. There will be no victories at a bargain price. Eisenhower said that. There will be no victories at a bargain price. You don't just get a victory with no travail. You don't just get a victory with no hard pushing through. You just don't get a victory because it just comes to you so easily and brought into your hand. Victories don't come at a bargain price. Dwight D. Eisenhower said that. Girls, it is our time. I believe the rock has sown and sown and sown. And when you come to this church, let me explain something to you about the house of God. You are under an umbrella. Because there's an anointing here that God gives our church. And other churches have their own anointings. You're under a covering under each church. You are under the Rock Church's covering when you are a member and a part of this church. And I believe that this church, that God is going to rain righteousness on us. And I see it in the spirit that God is raining down righteousness. And that we are going to reap. And we have already seen it just this week. Almost 300 salvations in 1 week. I believe the Lord is doing a new thing. I believe God has something for us. So hold on, because reaping is here. It is time for us to reap. It is time for us to reap favor. It is time for us to reap the answered prayers that we've been waiting for. It is time for us to reap the blessings. It is time for some of you to reap a father. You have been fatherless. You have been without a dad. It is time for you to connect to your Maker. He is your Father. He is your Abba. He is the one that wants you, and He longs for you. He sees every tear, and He bottles it up. He loves you so much. It is time for you to reap a father. It is time for you that are single to reap a lover. He loves you. He wants to be your lover. He wants to be the one that you spend every waking moment with. He wants to be the one that comforts you when you're lonely. When your heart is broken, you go back to the past thoughts. He says, oh no, but stay focused on me because I'm your lover now. It is time for you to reap that. It is time for us to reap His joy. It is time for us to reap His joy. It is time for us to reap greatness. It is time for you to reap greatness. You say, oh, but I've never really become something. I've never really done much. Listen, that's a lie from the pit of hell. You are wonderfully and fearfully made. God has a purpose and a destiny. You are not too old and you are not too young. You are not so middle-aged that you can't do anything. Listen, God has something for each of us. And I believe that He is calling greatness out of us. He is calling greatness out of you. It is time for you to reap greatness. It is time for you to reap His grace. His grace to get the job done on your behalf when you cannot do it. We are going to reap that. It is time for us to reap in an intimate, personal relationship with the Lord, that when we get in His presence, we do nothing but cry because we're just with our Maker. It's just tears of just, oh. Have you ever had those moments? Just tears of, I just love you, God. I just love you, God. I can think about Him and cry because I just love Him. Psalms 126, 5 through 6 says, we cried as we went out to plant our seeds. Now let us celebrate as we bring in the crops. We cried on the way to plant the seeds, but we will celebrate and shout as we bring in the crops. Listen, God has something for us to harvest. And this is now a harvest time. We are going to harvest souls. We are going to harvest the end times, ladies. We are going to harvest new birth, and we are going to harvest the joy of the Lord, because this is a dark world with no hope and none of it, but we know the one that is our hope. We know the one that created this world. We know the one that laid it out before he even began. Before anything began, he made it all. So don't be discouraged with your tears. Think of them as seed. Seed that is being planted in faith. And that you're going to sow those tears. And that you are going to reap in a harvest that only God will show you how big is. You will walk back on that field and go, really? Oh my goodness. I'm sure when my parents started this church in that little hotel, they never saw this. I'm sure this blows them away when they walk on the campus. I know for me, I was a little girl through all of that. And I saw the tears, and I saw the pain, and I saw the struggles, and I saw the hard work, and I saw them get dirty. And let me just say, I drive on the campus and cry because I know the price that was paid. I know what was given. And we are moving on to a great harvest.